Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. This is Denise Freeman on This Is Radioactive, and we're broadcasting today with Joseph Offit. Are you online, Joseph?
I am.
Hi. Joseph was down in Louisiana this past week in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans, and was on the front lines at the statue protest, facing off with other protesters. How you doing, Joseph?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing okay. It's nice to finally talk to you. So how was your week?
Oh, it was all over the place. You know, working in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans, wasn't expecting a Sunday like yesterday in New Orleans, but was glad to be able to be there. You know, it's crazy to see what's going on in Louisiana in general right now. You've got two separate battles going on, and it's almost like, for example, in Baton Rouge, it's a black community war. In New Orleans, it's a Confederate monument war, and there's two messages that are trying to be sent, that you have separate groups that try to ruin that message. So, give you a good example, Baton Rouge, the whole Alton Sterling shooting, the communities are trying to be peaceful and want to work with the police department, you know, for peaceful solutions, and, you know, they're still trying to get justice for Alton. But then you have the new Black Panther Party, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So the communities are, they already have a community group called Together Baton Rouge. They have meetings, they talk about how to keep things peaceful. If people are going to go do some form of protest, just no clashing with the police. That's all they ask.
Right.
Well, then you got the Black Panthers that show up, and they're all but peaceful. They're trying to
peaceful, huh?
Oh yeah, they trying to provoke the police department to do something to them. They get mad when the police department doesn't show up in force, like last year's protest, causing a lot of problems because. The community right now, like I said, their message was to get justice for their family member and a member of their community. They want to do it the right way so that their message isn't lost. But when you got a separate group to come in to stir up stuff and cause chaos, all you hear about is the Black Panther standing off with police, not really what the message is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the same thing in New Orleans with the Confederate Monument Defenders. They're there to protect the history of New Orleans and the Confederate history, because that's the history of America.
Right.
And people don't want that message to get lost. But when you've got groups like the League of the South or pro-white supremacist groups that are there saying that they're for the same cause, but they're spewing hate. You know, I was standing with the Confederate Monument Defenders. Nah, I support their movement. I support that cause very well. I'm from the South. I'm from Texas. But it's not a pissing war between who wants to support it, because everything was going good until the N-word started flying around. And next thing you know, it's not about the Confederate monuments anymore. It's just about racism.
Exactly.
And how that's being portrayed. So the biggest problem is sticking to the message. And you know, I will say that at the Jefferson Monument, the group over there, they were so nice. They were doing so great. Make sure they have the right people with them. Anybody that has any negativity or any hate towards anybody, they don't want them around. They welcome people with open arms. They don't care what race, what religion you are. They're there to let you know what they stand for and why it's important to them. And it was just a great experience all around.
Yeah. Well, let me back up just a little bit. I started following you back during the Dallas events in Texas when the police officer was shot. You want to talk about that for just a minute? And your
we can do that.
Journey to where we
so,
are now?
Yes. So it's actually July 10th and how I started my journey. So July 7th, 3 days after the Alton Sterling shooting, there was a protest in Dallas. It was a really big protest, and, you know, the police were out there. A lot of the officers were actually standing in solidarity for the protest. You know, they were being respectful. Everything was very peaceful until one man decided to open fire on our police officers. Actually, there were 13 officers total that were shot. Five of them lost their life, and there was one innocent civilian that was shot at the time. It was just a tragic day all around. You know, everybody's mourning and hurting, and communities are coming together after a tragic event like that. Well, 3 days later, July 10th, there was a separate Black Lives Matter protest, which it was just unbelievable. It was like, wow, it's only been 3 days and you're protesting again. Like, we haven't even gotten to a funeral yet. You know, there's still crime scene tape everywhere, police all over the place, and you still want to continue to do this. It was just, I couldn't believe it. So me and a couple of friends decided to go up there to see what was going on. That was the police department called it a five-hour standoff because the police wouldn't let us talk to the Black Lives Matter at all. But we were determined to understand why. Maybe we're misunderstanding something, you know, or maybe they just felt like they're not being heard. So I'm there to listen.
Right.
Eventually, one of their members ran across the street and was asking us questions like, "What are you doing here? This is our movement, you know. Like, do you support us?" And I told him, I was like, "Look, you have to understand something. What's going on here in Dallas, it's so tragic. All these officers are still mourning, and they're out here still protecting you. So, but I feel like maybe you feel like someone's not listening. So tell me what I'm missing. Help me understand."
Mm-hmm.
But I asked them, I said, if I listened to you, would you be willing to listen to me? Or what about one of the officers that's not here? It's 102 degrees outside. They've got all this body armor on. You know, there's snipers everywhere, and it's just a bad situation. And he said, "Well, let me run across the street and see what they have to say." And they started fighting with each other. You know, some of them were for the dialogue, and half of the group was like, "Nope, Black Power," and they walked away. And the rest of the group turned around and started walking across the street. My first thought was, "Oh my gosh, this is about to be really bad. This is about to be really bad."
Yeah.
Until they had their fists in the air, and I was just like, "Wow, this is not going to be good." But then they put their fists down, and they opened up their arms, and I was like, "Okay, you want a hug? Let's hug it out right now, right now."
Yeah, that's one of the things you're famous for. The hug.
But yeah, well, it was that moment when that happened. Because the guys that were with me, you have to look at it from, if you're from the outside and you're looking at this situation, all you see is a bunch of white guys. Some of them have a Confederate flag on their shirt. And the other side is a pro-black group. That's, you know, to the common layman, you would just assume that wouldn't get along. But
yeah,
they were hugging it out and just talking about bringing down the barrier, breaking down those walls. And we sent
awesome.
A message across. It was. I mean, we sent a message across the world that you can take two separate groups and come together despite your differences. And we formed a unity circle, and even a police officer from Dallas Police Department joined in on that prayer. You know, so you got all sides. You know, you got a pro-black to blue group, a group that was protesting against police, and then the police also in that same unity circle. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah,
oh yeah. Well, I mean, it was you know, for the moment, I mean, it felt good just to go back home. We didn't know what news media was out there until we that next day, CNN had made a video of that of that day. And I think I think to this day it has 129 million shares.
Wow.
Most share. Yeah,
that's
it broke
impressive.
A CNN record. It actually broke a Facebook record for most shares. It was featured in Facebook's end of the year video. So, since then, I just found a passion. Like it can be done. That was a sign of hope that it could be done. It just takes time and the efforts of everybody to make it happen.
Yeah. It really does. I personally went to an Antifa, however you pronounce it, rally here in North Carolina this week, and had a good dialogue with the creator of the event and have invited him to come on the show. I haven't heard back from him yet. I don't know if he will call me or not, but it was an eye-opening experience because they're not so far apart from where we are as patriots and Confederate sons of Confederate veterans, etc. The only major difference I seen really was the fact that they are grouping anybody, and I mean anybody, that carries, wears, or promotes the Confederate flag. They're grouping them all into the same category with the hate groups, and that's not true.
Right. Exactly, and that's the sad part about that is, too, you know, you've got, if we go back in history, the Confederate battle flag has been around for over a century now, okay?
Right.
Well, let's look at the, for example, Nazi Germany, the swastika. If you flip the swastika, there was a symbol of peace. Until one man took that symbol and used it for genocide and his beliefs, you know. So there's always a original message behind something until somebody or some group wants to use it for a separate cause, whether it's a hate cause or a good cause. But for so many years, I mean, how long has the KKK been around? And they've used that flag for their cause, their beliefs. I mean, look at the South Carolina shooting. The guy that shot 9 black people, he was seen using that flag to try to provoke a racist war. You know, it's a... But I think with the Confederate defenders...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
With the Confederate defenders... Yeah, what they're doing is really good. As long as they can keep their message clear about the history and keep opening up their doors to anybody, I think we can start abolishing this racist view of the Confederate battle flag.
Right.
And the monuments
now,
as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm a big advocate for SCV, and I myself am a my great third great grandfather. Well, multiple third and fourth great grandfathers served in the Confederacy for the Civil War. I should call it the War of Aggression, but it's really crazy here in our state, because if we walk around or have an event with the Confederate battle flag, there seems to be an uproar. But if we take the North Carolina Secession flag and put it up, nobody bats an eye. Most people don't even have a clue what it is. And it's really ironic that a flag can cause so much hostility.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it like this. How long have those monuments been up in New Orleans?
Yeah.
For over a century. But
yeah.
Why now in 2017 does somebody want to start complaining about it? You know, speaking with the people there was actually a few black guys that came up to us and said, "I don't know what all this ruckus is about the monuments. That's history in New Orleans, you know?"
Yeah.
And just that right there told me something. I was like, if people know that this was history and not about politics, then we could all be on the same page. But it's like in this day, in this generation, if you feel offended by something, you know, there's pretty much you can do anything to have it removed or changed or get your way about it if you get enough people to stand behind you.
And that's the perception I got from that rally in North Carolina this year, the Antifa rally. They don't like the fact that we have a flag, so they want to squash it. And 90% of them were college age, you know, kids. But they don't realize by doing that, they're trying to squish our inalienable rights. You know, that's our Bill of Rights, our First Amendment.
Right.
I don't follow how they can claim to be anti-fascist when they're trying to eradicate our own freedom of thought and freedom of speech.
I completely understand where you're coming from, because at the same time, at Lee's Circle yesterday, there was a woman from Antifa that tried
mm-hmm.
to set the American flag on fire.
Mm-hmm. The American
and
flag.
And it's like, oh, yeah, the American flag, 50 stars, red and blue, red, white, and blue, you know? And it's like, okay, wait, did you come here for the Confederate flag or the American flag? Because don't be pro, you know, don't try to say you're against hate and all this stuff, but then now you're just crushing on American history in general. So for me, with Antifa, it's kind of hard to understand what they truly believe in. You know, it's almost like they just come together one day and say, oh, I don't like that. Let's go do something about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I feel about it. How was it in New Orleans? I know you were in Baton Rouge, and you had some pretty serious problems with Black Panthers there. But how was it in New Orleans as far as the tension that you could feel all day long, and not just when you were at the monuments, but everywhere you were?
In New Orleans, you know, the only time I really felt tension was when the Antifa group that was led in front by a Black Panther group,
mm-hmm.
you know, that tension was there. It was a little bit different this time, because originally when the Antifa was in New Orleans, what was it, Monday or Tuesday, you know, they
mm-hmm.
were pepper spraying people. They were attacking people. You didn't really see it at this time. You didn't see – they weren't there to really fight this time. They were just kind of screaming how they felt or, you know, and it was almost like now that they're being seen as being an attack group on people, it's like they wanted to change their mindset up and say, no, let's be peaceful and let's not worry about this and let's be the bigger people here and walk away.
Right.
Like, okay. I think once they saw that force that was there after that, I mean, they still outnumbered them. I mean, Antasia still outnumbered everybody, but after the Lee Monument standoff, whatever you want to call it, I mean, it was like everybody just kind of went home and went away. A few people went back to Jefferson Monument. There was no Antifa activity, and from there it was just, you know, your normal people driving by, giving you the finger, or people hawking at you, supporting you, and then people just coming up and just honestly being curious. The only thing that was, there was a group that was across the street, and they didn't have anything negative to say. They weren't spewing hate or, you know, anything like that. They just had they had this deal that says, if this monument is removed, what would you like to see here in replace of the Jefferson Monument?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still saw that as a positive thing, because I mean, they know what's going to be removed, but now it's like, okay, if you live in New Orleans, what would you like to see here in replace of that?
Yeah. We had a statue in Reeseville, North Carolina, that had been there for years, and a drunk driver took it out. They chose not to return the statue there, but they moved it to the cemetery and out of the city limits, you know. Excuse me. And I really had a problem with that when they did that, because no, they didn't get rid of it. No, they didn't tear it down. They took it out of the public view and replaced it with something else. They actually replaced it with an MLK memorial thing. It's not a statue of him, but it is in representation of what he stood for. And, you know, I really liked MLK's message as far as unity and everything goes, but I don't understand their reasoning behind it, because their reasoning was because of the cost. But there again, they just moved it and put it right back up. So isn't that incurring more expense? Yes. I can't follow sometimes. And I know I'm not making sense, because you don't have a magic answer.
Well, I mean, like, in New Orleans, the mayor spent $600,000 to remove one of the monuments already. That's money that can go towards something like helping schools, for example.
Exactly.
Or going towards the debt that they need to pay off, or helping the people. I mean, to just now want to do something about monuments. I mean, because last year when I was in New Orleans briefly in July last year, they had a big church deal at the Lee Circle. It was mixed. It was a diverse group, blacks, white, Hispanics, you know. Held a little church assembly at the monument, and everybody was okay with that. Considering what has been going on with all the police involved shootings, and you have the uproar and Black Lives Matter all over the place. But it really makes you wonder, really makes you question, what now makes you want to start removing monuments? And
they
say they're going to put them in a museum where they belong, but I think that the city needs to hold a vote. The whole city needs to hold a vote on, do they want the monuments to stay, or do they want them in a museum? And
right.
I think if the city decides on that.
I don't know if you're up to date on what happened today. They did hold a press conference this morning, and they filed a lawsuit, an injunction to hold them off. And they actually have documented proof that the city park actually owns the property, not the city. So that was all under state jurisdiction, not city jurisdiction, for the Beauregard.
Right.
And if you want to.
Yeah, and that's a. It's a tricky situation, you know. That's why I think there's that push to hurry up and try to get it done. But if the Confederate defenders really want to make that stand, they got to make sure they do all the research. Who really owns rights to the monuments, where it's placed, and you know, they were when I was in Baton Rouge, and they were trying to pass a bill to keep the monuments there. Which, again, Baton Rouge has its own separate issue, but I think everyone's trying to do everything they can. They're trying to take it up to the higher ups through the state versus the city, and try to get it done. But I think with time and effort, we're just going to have to see how it plays out. I'm hoping the monuments can stay, because speaking with a lot of the people there, it's they're ready for this to just be done and over with. You know, everybody wants the outside people to leave. You know, to them, it's not really a big deal. Just leave the monuments alone. But then you get your few that now all of a sudden have a problem with the monuments. But we just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Well, our time is running out. I want to tell you myself personally, thank you for everything that you're doing. And I love your videos, and I share them whenever I see them. And we'd love to have you back on. And anything else you want to add?
No, I think we covered everything. It was a pleasure for you to allow me to be on your show. For everybody that is listening, if you could just do me a favor day to day, if you see anybody spewing hate, or if you feel someone being negative towards you, just be the positive influence. A simple hug goes a long way, or just a random act of kindness goes a long way. If you're a Confederate monument defender, just always remember, take the high road. There's always going to be someone that disagrees with you, and just being the bigger person will win that battle anytime.
Yes, we will. Thank you again, Jeff, and come on back and see us sometime. Appreciate you calling and taking time out of your day. And you have a good night. Okay?
Always. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.